From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Tony Cox. The Senate approved an $838 billion economic stimulus package, and now negotiators in Congress are working to narrow out the differences between the Senate and House versions of the bill. Can Democrats and Republicans finally come together? Plus, Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner rolled out his proposal for the remaining bank bailout funds, but Wall Street was not impressed. And President Obama is crisscrossing the country to drum up support for the stimulus bill. But how are Americans responding? Here to help break down these political developments are Democratic strategist Donna Brazile. She is also an author and a nationally syndicated columnist. And Ron Christie, CEO of Christie Strategies. He was also a special assistant to former President George W. Bush. Ron, Donna, nice to have you.
Hey, Tony.
Good afternoon,
Tony. Another week has passed without a stimulus plan in place, but at least we may be closer to one than we were a week ago. Senate voting yesterday to approve an $838 billion plan that lawmakers are now trying to narrow into a workable agreement between the Senate and the House versions. So, Donna, they're close and yet so far apart. The latest word is that they've cut it now to just under $790 billion. That's a $40 billion drop overall, but they're still not home free.
Well, as you well know, and Ron is also a veteran of Capitol Hill, the key thing right now is reconciliation. They have to reconcile two vastly different bills in terms of what's stimulus versus what's tax credits or tax cuts. I think what you'll hear later as this process continues is that the House will insist that some of the money for a school reconstruction be put back in. The Senate will insist that the tax credits that they have provided to homeowners and car buyers be retained. And at the end of the day, we will have a compromise. It will not be a perfect bill, but it will be a piece of legislation that will help invest in America's future, to save and create over 3 million jobs and help struggling homeowners.
That price tag, by the way, for the school construction is $16 billion. Well, Ron, you know, save for three Republican senators who backed the package, the vote on the bill so far has been quite partisan. And the senators who joined the Democrats, Olympia Snowe, Susan Collins, and Arlen Specter, are catching a great deal of heat from their partisan GOP colleagues. Can this partisan gap be closed?
Well, I think the partisan gap can be closed, Tony, but I think what led to the gap and this void in the first place was the inability of the Republicans in the House of Representatives and also in the Senate to a great deal to have any impact on the process. Particularly in the House, the Speaker decided that she was going to pass a stimulus package, and she was not that interested in reaching out to Republicans. We had a 40-year wish list, if you will, of some pork projects that were included in the bill. I think the three senators that you mentioned, Snowe, Collins, and Specter, are catching a lot of grief because I think if the Republicans had held firm, they would have had a better position to negotiate not only with their colleagues in the Senate, but with the president to try to really bring down the cost of the stimulus package. I'm all in favor, and many conservatives are all in favor of stimulating the economy and using the government to prime the pump. The question that many people have, and I have, is, how can you demonstrate to me that if you spend this amount of money, that it's going to create a certain amount of jobs? I think there's a certain level of vagueness, and I think that we hear a lot of promises that if we get this bill passed, that we're going to have all these new jobs. I want to see the specifics. I don't want to see the taxpayers get ripped off once again.
Well, what about the states? Donna, the governors are struggling to balance their budgets, and they want more spending. Even GOP governors like Arnold Schwarzenegger in California and Florida's Charlie Crist. Should lawmakers be placing more focus on what the states' needs are as part of this?
You know, when I mentioned 15 million, perhaps I should have said that all of these numbers are still under review. But let me say two things. One, the Republicans have not offered any alternative, no vision. When they sat on three committees during the House deliberations, they offered amendments. They offered amendments on the floor. It was more the same that got us into this mess in the first place, fiscal irresponsibility that led this president to inherit a soaring deficit as well as a recession. Governor Schwarzenegger, Governor Crist, and many other governors are facing a huge budget shortfall. As you well know, state budgets must be reconciled before the end of their fiscal year. These governors are requesting the money because they're having to make some tough decisions as it relates to education, health care for the poor, and they need help from Washington. Banks are not lending. They're having a hard time selling their bonds, municipal bonds and state bonds. So this is a critical piece of legislation at a time when over 20,000 people are losing their jobs each and every day.
Now, you and Ron have both articulated the various positions of the of your respective parties quite well, and it's perhaps because there is a disagreement there that the president took his case directly to the people. He held a news his first primetime news conference on Monday night.
Last month, our economy lost 598,000 jobs, which is nearly the equivalent of losing every single job in the state of Maine. And if there's anyone out there who still doesn't believe this constitutes a full-blown crisis, I suggest speaking to one of the millions of Americans whose lives have been turned upside down because they don't know where their next paycheck is coming from. And that is why the single most important part of this economic recovery and reinvestment plan is the fact that it will save or create up to 4 million jobs, because that's what America needs most right now.
Now, Ryan, according to polls by the Pew Research Center and others, 51% of Americans do support the stimulus. That's still a majority. However, that's down 6% from January. So is the public waffling on this?
I don't think the public's waffling. I think the more the public hears about this so-called stimulus bill, the more reasons they have to be skeptical. We just heard the president say a moment ago that his plan was going to save or create 4 million jobs. Give me a clear and coherent explanation how the government is going to create or save 4 million jobs. Jobs are created in the public sector. The government is not in the business of creating jobs. It's just a fact. And the other thing that I find fault with, and I think that it's indicative in the polls, is that the Congressional Budget Office and the Committee on Joint Taxation up on Capitol Hill both have said they cannot point to where a single job would be identified. I am all in favor of spending money and putting good money after good causes, but the president needs to do a far better job of articulating exactly how spending $1 here, $1 there will add up to a job being created or saved.
Well, Donna, go ahead, Donna.
It's easy for me as someone who knows how the government works. Ron, and you know as well, when a state receives federal grant money for particular construction projects, they normally go to the private sector to bid. So these jobs, 75% of the jobs that will be created, whether it's infrastructure or even some of the school construction money, will be bidded out at the state and local level. So 75% will be directed toward the private sector. That's why the United States Chamber of Commerce, the National Association of Manufacturers are supporting this bill. They are not your traditional liberal supporters. This is a very critical moment. People are broke, busted, and disgusted. Disgusted with Washington, D.C., disgusted with the politics of the past that has got us to this brink. And what they want from President Obama is to lead. That's why he's in Springfield, Virginia. He's going to Peoria. And that's why he must go out there, sell his plan, sell it to the American people so they know help is on the way.
What about the issue of the devil being in the details? And I'm thinking now particularly about Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner, whose proposal for the remaining $350 billion in bank bailout funds, known as TARP, sort of fell short. Wall Street did not respond well to the plan, and the criticism of it was that it simply was not clear enough. So the question, and I'll direct this to you, Donna, briefly, and then let Ron respond, should it have been more precise, or would that have simply provided more opportunity for attacks on the plan before it could have been put in place?
Tony, I'm about to submit my resume to the Obama administration because I don't think these people understand just how difficult this issue is. The banks, some of these banks should be allowed to fail. They are making stupid decisions with our taxpayers' money. And yesterday when I saw Secretary Geithner speak, I sat there and I said, oh, my God, bring out the peanuts, but that'll give me salmonella. He offered nothing. We need specifics. We need to know we can no longer throw good money after bad.
Well, that's the point I think that you're making, Ryan. And to follow that up, on the Hill just today, the heads of eight of the top banks are facing their critics and making their case for more cash. But is this political theater? Do you expect something substantive to happen? Or are you still looking for those details that you're not getting?
I'm looking for the details I'm not getting. And see, I knew we could make a fiscal conservative, maybe even a Republican out of Donna yet.
But I don't know about that.
I don't want to push my luck. Look, my friend had it exactly right. I thought Geithner's really performance yesterday was atrocious. The American people need and expect and demand clarity and specificity from their leaders. And I think, starting with Secretary Paulson, candidly, I didn't think that we had it with the original TARP. And with Secretary Geithner, we don't have it now. I think if you'd put Donna and I in a room together for about an hour, we would have had a lot more specificity and details than the Treasury Secretary did. This is exactly what the American people, when they voted, said that they wanted a new change. We don't need more of the same, of the unclear nature of this TARP money. I thought it was atrocious, and I think we're going to see more political theater until they get their act together over there at the Treasury Department.
I've got less than 30 seconds for you, Donna, to respond to this, but this would seem to be the time that the President of the United States should step forward and lead in this regard. And he's attempting to do that, but the question is, how successfully is he doing it?
I think he's doing a remarkable job. He's been in the office less than a month. He is faced with, as I mentioned, one of the worst economic crises in the generation. He wants to reach out to the Republicans. He has invited them to cocktail hour every Wednesday. You know, perhaps I should stir up a hurricane, you know, that drink that we have down in New Orleans. If we give them a little liquor, maybe they'll move a little quicker.
Donna, thank you very much. Ron, thank you as well.
Pleasure as always. I can't top that.
No, you can't. That was Democratic strategist Donna Brazile. She is an author and a nationally syndicated columnist. Also, we were joined by Ron Christie. He is the CEO of Christie Strategies. He is also a former special assistant to President George W. Bush. They both joined us from NPR's headquarters in Washington, D.C.